Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Can we just go to the Lord this morning?
Whoa. Try that one more time. All right.
Man, can we go to the Lord this morning? I just believe there's power in the name of Jesus. When you read scripture and you see what the word of God...
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
When you hear what the word of God says about the name of Jesus, whatever we ask in His name, if we believe we've received it, it's ours. That's a promise. It's a powerful promise. You know, using Jesus' name is not like a, you know, just pushing the magic button. But it's understanding that in Christ we have all of the inheritance that He has. We have everything. It's been given to us as well as His followers. Lord, this morning, I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what circumstance you're facing. I don't know what situation you're facing in your life, but let's go to Him this morning. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to You, God, not on our own merit, on our own good behavior, on anything good that we can bring to the table, but in the name of Jesus, we bring our circumstance, our situation, our loved ones, our relationships, our health. We bring it to You. And God, we ask for a miracle. We ask for Your provision. We ask for Your touch. We ask for Your hand to be upon us. And we do ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, if you're not already seated, you can grab a seat.
Hello and welcome to Vibe Church this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. How cool are these fans, by the way? That was a little cheesy. So if you're watching online, give us a shout out and be sure to share the service on Facebook. And if you haven't already downloaded our free app yet, go ahead and do that because we have a lot of amazing resources on there, including notes for today's sermon. So for those who are here in person, you'll see a Connect card like this on your seat. Please fill that out, and I'll actually tell you what to do with it after service. There are multiple ways that you can give at Vibe Church, through our app, on our website, with our text to give, or in person by utilizing the giving envelope that you have on your seat. Would you join me and my family today as we worship the Lord with our giving? Go ahead and grab your giving envelope, even if you're giving online, just as a symbol of worship. God, we love You. Thank You for everything You have trusted us to manage. We demonstrate our love for You by giving now a portion of what You have given us, and we worship You by giving cheerfully from our heart. Amen.
Well, all right. We're going to EQ this microphone while I'm talking. Unfortunately, you guys get to hear all the feedback while they're adjusting all that stuff. But hey, we're finishing up a new series that we started a few weeks ago, and it's called Believe. And I just want to recap some of where we've been. We talked about truth and the importance of truth. We also talked about lies and how they play in, how the enemy uses lies in our life. And so this morning, I want to share a little story. When I was about 10 years old, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and my dad would actually like try to catch these alligator turtles. They call them snapping turtles up in Pennsylvania. They call them alligator turtles here. But you've seen the one, they're really big, and if they latch onto you, like if you stick your finger in their mouth, you will lose your finger. They have like a really, but anyway, we were out at a reservoir in Pennsylvania, and they had drained this reservoir. And so all of us kids, you know, we're just checking out stuff. There's like little boats, little John boats that are sunk, and there's just all kinds of stuff that had been, you know, had gotten claimed by the reservoir. And I found a fishing pole. And man, as a 10-year-old kid, that is like, it's like finding a treasure, you know? And I got the thing, and I'm just you know, with my brothers and my cousins were there, and I was just like, ah, look what I found. You know how kids do, just kind of rubbing it in there. Like, look what I found. You didn't find it. Ah, I got this cool fishing rod. Ah. And so I'm just going on and just rubbing it in their nose. And my cousin, a little later, he comes up to me and says, that thing's a piece of junk, man. I don't even know what you're excited about. He said, don't even think about putting that in our car. You're not taking that home. It's all nasty. And so all of a sudden, I went from this, you know, just elated, you know, just rub it in your nose kind of a thing to he walks away and I'm looking at that fishing pole and it just looked different, you know. I saw the dirt on it and all of the shininess, which there was no really shininess, but it was in my head. All of it was gone. All the excitement was gone about me having this great find. And as we're walking around, we're still hanging around, playing around the reservoir. I got to the point where I'm like, you know what? It's really not that valuable. It's just a piece of junk. And so I threw it down and I went and played, you know, and did all. And a few minutes later, my cousin comes up to me and says, look what I got. I got a fishing pole. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He deceived me out of my fishing pole that I found and I was excited about. You know, what we believe really affects how we behave. It affects how we see things. What we believe is so important. This is such an important series that if we can grab a hold of the understanding of truth and lies and what we believe, there's a reason it's one of our core values at Vive Church. Because what we believe affects how we behave. It affects how we see the world around us. It's how we see ourselves, how we interact with people, how we interact with God. It's what we believe is so important. In Genesis chapter 3, I know we keep going back to that, but so much happened in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the human race, you and I, were deceived. Adam and Eve, the first humans, our great-great-great-great-grandfathers and mothers, they were deceived. They were trapped by deception and lies. See, the enemy told them a lie. Basically said, you know what? What you have going on here with God, with the Creator, it's not that good. It's really not that good. You could have something better. You could be your own God. You can do your own thing. How cool is that, that you make the calls, right? You don't have to check in with him. You don't have to do it his way. You can do it your way. And so Adam and Eve looked at what they had. They, you know, all of a sudden it went from being great to it's not so great. This relationship thing with God, this provision from God, this, you know, this is, it's kind of restraining. I feel like, you know, like he's kind of holding me back, right? Kind of like we felt like when we were teenagers, remember? Like my parents are holding me back. They're keeping me from being who I need to be, right? And so they just felt that way. They said, you know, God's kind of holding me back and I want to be my own God. I want to do my own thing. And so what once was beautiful, what once was amazing after a while, after that lie, wasn't so amazing. It wasn't so cool. It wasn't so great. And so they traded in the truth for a lie. See, we weren't just lied to in Genesis chapter 3. The human race, mankind, embraced that lie. It wasn't like they just were lied to and tricked. Oh, darn, you know, you tricked me. No, they embraced that lie. And it became a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA. See, lies trap us. And what we believe determines how we behave. You can be like God. You can do your own thing. That's the lie that has been embraced. And it's the lie that is at the heart of every one of us when we're born. It's part of our sinful nature. It's part of that spiritual DNA that's broken, that we don't need God. We can do it on our own. Now you might, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual journey. You may be sitting there saying, no, that's not me. That's not me. It's everyone, everyone. It just shows up in different ways. Sometimes we're a little more passive about it. Sometimes we're a little more aggressive about it. But it's in every one of us and it's driving us. See, ever since that big lie that was embraced, truth has become optional in our lives. Now, bank tellers would tell you that the way to identify counterfeit money is to be familiar with the real thing. The way you identify the fake is you're so familiar with the real thing. And so here's the problem that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is that, you know, because our DNA, spiritual DNA, is broken, because it's been affected by that big lie, it's hard for us to identify truth. It's easier for us to latch on to lies. I mean, isn't it true? It's so easy for us to latch on to lies. About 25 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, who's a follower of Jesus, he had a powerful transformation on the road to the city of Damascus. He was actually traveling to Damascus to persecute Christians, to put them into prison, to torture them, to even kill them. And Paul had this powerful transformation. And about 25 years after that resurrection of Jesus, Paul writes a letter as the follower of Jesus, as now as an apostle of Jesus, as one who's planting churches and now seeing people born again and trusting Christ and transformed. He writes a letter to the church in Colossae, which is the letter of Colossians that we have. He writes this letter while he's in a Roman prison. He's being punished and persecuted for being an apostle, for being a Christian. And so he's in this prison in Rome, and he's writing this letter to the church in Colossae. He's writing it because there was a companion of his, a fellow minister named Epaphras. And Epaphras came to him while he was in Rome in the prison and explained to him, here's what's going on in the church of Colossae, the Colossian church. Here's what's happening. He said, what's happening in the Colossian church is that these heretics, these people have filtrated into the church and they've started to deceive the people. And they started to lie to them and they started to teach things that were contrary to what had been laid as a foundation doctrinally for them. They started to teach things like Jesus isn't really God. That he isn't really who he said he was. And there were a lot of other things that they began to teach. And Epaphras is telling Paul this, that we've got to do something. We've got to help the church because they're starting to believe that stuff. They're starting to embrace the lies that these heretics and these people that have come into and kind of snuck into the church and become a part of it, and they're beginning to just disseminate their false doctrine and their heresy. And so Paul writes a letter while he's in this prison in Rome to the church in Colossae. And he says this, chapter 2, verse 4. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. So he's going through and he's laying a foundation of who Christ is. It's a powerful book in the New Testament. You ought to read it. It's super important on the supremacy of Christ and who Jesus is. But he says, I'm telling you this stuff. I'm writing this letter because so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Now, Paul already knows that people are trying to deceive them. He already knows what's going on, and they started to embrace those things. But he's alerting them, and he's saying to them, listen, be careful, because people are going to try to deceive you. You know, Adolf Hitler said this. He said, make a lie big, make it simple, and keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. You would think in the day that we live, you know, with technology and information, that, you know what, we're above that. We're above believing lies, right? We're above that. Wow, I wish we were. Now, I'm not a big Facebook person, but I've been scrolling a lot more on Facebook lately than I normally have, just, you know, because of everything going on and just trying to stay in touch with people. But I came across a Facebook post by somebody, a friend of mine, and it said, Hobby Lobby CEO says, not being able to own slaves violates his religious freedom. And I was like, wow. And, you know, people are commenting, and they're just lighting it up, you know, just, and I'm like, something doesn't sound right about that. You know, I'm like, I'm not a big Hobby Lobby person. You know, my wife is, she like, you know, it's some of you ladies, you may, you know, like that place, but it's like something just didn't, I've heard that this guy's a Christian. So it's like, wow, first of all, you know, would somebody actually come out and say that in our day and age? That would be like suicide of your business, right? That would just be so stupid. Did he say it in private and somebody caught him? What's the deal? And so I don't know about you. I don't know if when you're scrolling through stuff and you just read the headlines and maybe you read a little bit of it, you just, you know, put your angry face or you say, you know, whatever. You know, the little taglines that people put. But I thought, you know, I'm going to check this out. Like, I want to know, is this for real? So I went to Snopes, you know, and sometimes I don't necessarily believe Snopes, but I went to Snopes, you know, what do they got to say about this? And of course, you know, it was like, no, it's not true. It was like, you know, this is made up. And so I posted on the, you know, a link and put, it's like, this is fake, you know. It drives me nuts that sometimes, especially in our day and age, we would think that we would be above that. We would be beyond that. But I don't know. I think it's worse. I think the information that is out there is so much worse. Now, it was difficult back in the day of the early church. In the church of Colossae, and as they were, you know, growing and they were becoming the church of Jesus Christ and what they were called to be, there's so much information out there. Being a metropolitan city and having influence from Ephesus and other surrounding big cities, there was a lot of travelers and people would come in with their stories. And of course, they didn't have Google, they didn't have Snopes, but they had people who told stories, right? They had their thing. And so they would come in and they would teach their stuff. And it was hard for the church. It was hard because they struggled with, is this true? And so when these heretics came into the church, when these people came in teaching that, hey, Jesus is really not God. He's not deity. He was just a man like you and I. And that's it. Did some great things in the name of God, but that's it. When they started to teach that, there must have been something that they grabbed a hold of and said, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense because it started to take root, so much so that Paul says, I've got to do something about that. I've got to write a letter to the church. I got to send people there. I got to help them to understand this isn't healthy. See, because if you erode or undermine that doctrine of who Jesus is, it affects everything you do. It affects how you behave. And so the enemy was attacking the very heart of the church and what they believed about Jesus. Same thing happens today. We're surrounded by stuff. Now, it's, you know, it's one thing to have doctrinal things or articles about the CEO of Hobby Lobby or whatever on Facebook, but there's a lot of other lies that happen and just kind of filter into our lives. There's a lot of lies that have been a part of our life. We've built our lives using those lies, that information. We've built areas of our life using that stuff. Paul goes on in Colossians verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. See, people are going to try to take you captive. The enemy is behind it all. He's trying to capture us. He's trying to captivate us. He's trying to enslave us because if he can, then he can hold us back. Lies capture us. They capture us. And they hold us back. Paul, in another letter, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to young Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor who had been training under him and following him and just a part of the ministry for years. And Timothy was assigned to the church in Ephesus to lead that church. And so Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's giving Timothy a list of, here's a list of requirements or a list of things that leaders need to have, young leaders. As you raise up leaders, as you impart leadership to the people in your church, young Timothy, here are some things that you need to look for and develop in them. And it said, and the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them, catch this, repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. See, the enemy's goal is to capture us. And the way he captures us, and we sing about it, and we talk about it all the time, how we've been set free. And what it is, what we're being set free of is the stuff that's in our heart. It's what we believe about ourselves. It's what we believe about God. It's what we believe about everything and everyone around us. See, lies capture us. When I was young, and I don't know when it happened, but this is the lie that captured me. The lie was, you're not good enough. You're not talented enough. You're not spiritual enough. And I remember being 16 years old, and God was, I just started following Jesus, and God was, I felt like he was luring me into something, and he was saying, I want you to give your life to preaching the word. I want you to give your life to being a pastor. I didn't even know what that meant. I had no idea what that meant at that age. You know, I saw a few pastors, and maybe that's it, but I felt this draw, and God's saying, I want you to give your life to that. But the only words I heard was, you're not good enough. You're not talented enough. And you're not spiritual enough. And I remember wrestling with God because I felt like this is a cruel joke. It's kind of like, you know, when you're in a talent show and someone asks you to sing and you know you can't carry a tune in a bucket and they're all saying, hey, yeah, you sound good. You sound good. And it's like, really? Do I? You know, like I'm being set up for something. I really felt that way. I felt like, God, you're luring me out into the open and you're wanting me to do something that I am not good enough. I'm not talented enough. And I'm not spiritual enough to do. That was the lie that the enemy used in my life. He said, you don't measure up and you never will. Those are the words I heard. And I struggled with that. I wrestled with that. I don't know if you've ever heard things like that. But you don't measure up and you never will. And he said, if you just focus on being good enough, if you focus on being talented enough, and if you focus on being spiritual enough, maybe you will one day be enough. So here's what happened. And maybe you've done this. I started to compare myself with other people. Because what is good enough, what is talented enough, what is spiritual enough look like? So I looked at everybody who I thought was good enough, and I looked at everybody I thought was spiritual in the church, and I compared myself with them. Have you ever played that game before? Have you ever won that game before? No, of course not. You start comparing yourself with other people, it's not going to go well. And so I compared myself, and that was the trap that I got in, and that was the life that I was creating for myself. Here, a follower of Jesus, loving Jesus and surrendering my life to him. And God, I'll do whatever you want me to do and I'll follow you wherever. But I started comparing myself because of the lie that the enemy said, you're not good enough. You're not talented enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not going to measure up. You never will. And I remember I would say it all the time. I said, I have no idea why God called me into the ministry. I have no idea. But here I am. I'll make the best of it. I'll do whatever I can. But I have no. It's like I would say these words. I would say, God, I feel like you're scraping the bottom of the barrel, like you're running low on recruits here, and you got like, all right, we'll just get the scum of the barrel because that's all we got. And you know, that's how I felt. But it was all because of the lie of the enemy. What are some of the lies that you've bought into? What are some of the lies that you've built your life around? Because you know what? When you're told you're not good enough, when you're told you're not talented enough, when you're told that you don't measure up, you know what happens a lot of times is we work hard at proving those voices wrong, don't we? And sometimes we become the best in a certain area. And people will say, man, you're amazing. You did awesome. And we don't even hear that. All we hear is the negative. You'll never be enough. You'll never be enough. You'll never be enough. You'll never be good enough. But we work hard and we build hard and we create things. And here's the danger in that is that our whole life is built around using the things and the lies that the enemy has spoken into us. It's a dangerous place because that house of cards will come down really quick if you don't understand who your source is. So I don't know what lies you've bought into. I don't know what the enemy has whispered into your heart. I don't know what he said to you. I don't know if he said, you know what? Your sexuality is not that important. You could just do whatever you want with it. I don't know if I don't know what he's lied to you about. I don't know if you feel insecurity like I felt insecurity. I don't know if you compare yourself with other people like I've compared myself with other people, but I'm telling you, the enemy is constantly trying to lie to us because he knows what we believe is going to affect how we behave. And so for the first few years of ministry, I was miserable. I felt like if I worked hard, if I tried to create, you know, work on my talent and work on my spirituality and you know, when I'm around, hallelujah, brother, yes, praise the Lord. No, I'm not sick. No, not, everything's good. We're hallelujah, you know. And you just act spiritual and present yourself as spiritual, then maybe you feel spiritual and people think you're spiritual. I don't know if you've ever been sucked into that mess, but it can be miserable. And that's where the enemy had me. There's a lot of things that the enemy lies to us about. That first big lie that, you know what? You can do this on your own. You got this. You don't need anybody's help. You don't need God's help. You get going on it. You do it. And you know, after a little while, pray and just ask God to bless what you're doing. But, you know, you got this. Listen, it's the same lie that the enemy threw at Adam and Eve and they embraced it, is that you can be your own God. You could do your own thing. You got this, right? You don't need him. Or maybe you've bought into the lie that, you know what, the Bible is just another book, right? Or maybe you said, you know, hey, there is no God. There's no God. How could there be a God if this, and this? And, you know, maybe it's a lie that you've bought into. Or maybe that lie that a lot of people buy into is, I don't really have purpose. I don't really have purpose. Or this is the way God created me. And I can't do anything about it. I'm not good enough. No one will love you. If you give, maybe you won't have enough for yourself if you give, right? So don't even think about being generous, right? What are you thinking? Or maybe you can never be forgiven for that. That's a common one. See, what we believe determines what we do. Lies trap us. They trap us. You know, I realized something. A few years into ministry and into being a youth pastor, I realized something. I realized that, you know what? I might not be enough. I might not be enough. I might not be talented enough. I might not be good enough. I might not be spiritual enough. But Paul says to the church in Galatia, and I say this to you, and this is what the Lord said to me. And this changed everything in my life. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I might not be good enough. I might not be talented enough. I might not be so spiritual that people say, oh, wow, he's super spiritual. But you know what? Jesus is. And the life that I live in him. And you know what happened is it set me free. See, Jesus said it, and we're going to look at it in just a second. The truth sets us free. I tell you what, when you know, we've all been through that comparison game. You keep comparing yourself with people, it is a miserable trap. It is like, it's not just one ball and chain, it's two or three. And you can't even hardly walk around, and you're never feeling good enough. You're never match up to the people that you're comparing yourself to. It's a miserable existence, but the truth sets us free, and the Lord set me free. He set me free from comparing myself with others. And I realized something. Just because people sound spiritual doesn't mean you're spiritual. You know what? Our spirituality is not determined by how well you can quote the Bible, I can quote the Bible pretty well right now. That doesn't measure my spirituality. That doesn't determine how spiritual I am. It doesn't, how much I pray, how much I read my Bible, how much I attend church does not determine my spirituality or how spiritual I am. What determines how spiritual I am is my life in Christ. How much I'm dead to myself and alive to Christ. See, lies trap us, but the truth sets us free. Now, we've all heard this passage of scripture, John chapter 8, verse 31 through 32. Jesus said this. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you got to listen to the whole passage. If you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. We're followers of Jesus. That means we're mimicking Jesus. We're walking in his footsteps. We're living this life out the way that he lived it out. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. See, knowing the truth, it's not a search on Google. It's not like, well, what does the Bible say about that? That's not what the search for truth is. To know the truth is not just to get some information and to be able to repeat that information to someone else. Knowing the truth is a life that is submitted to the Savior. See, our lives, like Paul said to the Galatia church, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Now, obviously, he was living, right? Because he was writing this letter. He says, I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, knowing the truth is a life that is submitted to Christ. It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing Jesus. This is such an important truth for us. It's such an important word for us as the church. If you're watching online, whether you're here sitting in the parking lot, and thank you for enduring the heat with your fan. I'm a fan of Vibe Church. No matter where you're at, this is such an important message. I mean, if you hang around Vibe long enough, you're going to hear this over, because this is powerful, because the enemy holds us back by the lies that he has sown into our hearts. You may be a baptized, Jesus-loving, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost, whatever. You may be following Jesus, but listen, the enemy doesn't stop lying to us. We've got to submit our lives to Christ. We've got to embrace the truth. Quit making excuses for the things that we do. Don't compare yourself with other people. Know that your life is in Christ. And let that truth set you free. Everywhere around us, people are doing their thing. They're living life, and they're doing what they do based on what they believe. Based on what they believe. God has so much for us. His purpose is amazing. It's beyond what we can even imagine. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that early on in ministry, I wish it would have happened right when I started following Jesus, but early on in ministry, the Lord opened my eyes and revealed. But you know how it happened? It happened when I got to the point where I was miserable. I was tired of being insecure. I was tired of asking people, how did I do? How did I do? And I was tired of the feeling of no matter what someone said, if it was good, if they came and said, hey, Pastor Randy, that was a great message. I couldn't hear it. It went one ear and one out the other. But if somebody said something negative, it was like, ugh, it just killed me. I was like, I'm tired of this. I cannot go on. I can't live my life. I'll never make it to the end if this is the thing I've got to carry around. And that's why it's such an important word. You don't have to carry that lie around anymore because lies trap us. They hold us back. But the truth sets us free. Do you know what God thinks about you? Do you know what he has for you, his plans for you? You say, yeah, but that's not me. That's other people. That's those good spiritual people. No, it's for you. It's not just for those other people. It's for you. Do you know what he thinks about you? It affects everything you do. This morning, before I wrap up in prayer, I want to ask Ryan to come on out. And I've asked Ryan to rap this morning, to do a rap. I'm not going to rap with him. I know it's disappointing for all of you, but Ryan, God's gifted Ryan with an ability, a talent, to just to be able to sit down and write out a rap. And he's been on a journey. He's been on a spiritual journey, and there's some things that he's been going through and he's been discovering about himself. And you know, when you, like all of us, you know, the lies of the enemy, his goal is to run us in the ground. It's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and live it to the abundance, to the fullest. That's why we bring people to life at Vibe Church. And so Ryan's on his journey, and he's beginning to embrace that truth of what God says about me. And so he's going to share from his heart some truth that he's embraced, and tell us what's got you going here.
Basically, I suffer from a lot of drug addiction, or did. A lot of depression and suicidal thoughts and stuff. So music basically was a good coping skill for me, and I just kept doing it. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, hey, moving around, yeah, rainy days, I'ma change my ways, pistol on my side, rolling five and we blaze. Coupe drop top, double door, set away, yeah. I'ma go insane, huh? Leave it to the pain, yeah. Headshot to the brain, yeah. No, I'll leave a stain, huh? Keep a baddie on my side, you know she love my ways, yeah. I just gotta change, yeah. I just wanna thank God, you know I can't complain, yeah. No, I can't complain, yeah. The life I got is worth it, I'ma grind for the fame, Keep my family healthy, even though I got some shame, Hope I get to the top so I can steal away, yeah. Making the money is all I dream of for today, yeah. I don't wanna fail, I wanna grind and grow my cake, Smoking super dank, yeah. I keep some extra heat for all the haters, stay away, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
Moving around, huh? Rainy days, I'ma change my ways, yeah. Pistol on my side, rolling five and we blaze, yeah. Coop drop top, double door, set away, yeah. I'ma go insane, yeah. Leave it to the pain, yeah. Headshot to the brain, yeah. No, I'll leave it stain, yeah. keep a baddie on my side, you know she love my ways, yeah. I just got a chain, yeah. I just wanna thank God, you know I can't complain, yeah. Can't complain, yeah. The life I got is worth it. I'ma grind for the fame, yeah. You stay away, yeah. Or you'll get the flame. I just know I got good aim, yeah. Yeah.
Keep my family
healthy, even though I got some shame. Hope I get to the top so I can sail away, yeah. Making the money is all I dream of for today, yeah. I don't wanna fail, I wanna grind and grow my cake, smoke a super dank, keep some extra heat for all the haters. Stay away, yeah.
I'll tell you what happens, you know, anytime you step out of where the enemy has had you enslaved and has you captured, anytime you step out, the enemy says, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? He's like, what? You're not good. Whoa, Ryan, you got to get back here. I'm going to pray for you, man. So the enemy just starts to like, man, who do you think you are, dude? You're, what are you doing up here, you know? You know, that's what the enemy lies to us about. You belong up here. That's where you belong. That's where you belong. That's the truth. And the gift that God's put in your heart, it's to use it for Him. That's why He's given it to you. That's the truth. And so the truth sets us free, right? It sets us free. Can we pray for Ryan? Let's pray for him. Father, I thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for the plans that you have for him, the talent and the giftings that you've planted inside of his heart. God, you're beginning to unearth it. God, you're beginning to help him to discover it. Now, Lord, I pray that when that talent and that ability, those giftings and that purpose are discovered, the enemy wants to step back in. The enemy always tries to step back in and say, you should use that for you, because people will like you better, and they'll give you more if you'll just use it for you. And Father, we come against that lie right now, that the talent, the ability, the giftings would be for your glory and your glory alone. God, we thank you that your truth can cut through every lie from the enemy and can set every captive free. You've done it for each one of us, and we thank you for what you're doing in Ryan's life. Lord, keep it coming. That talent, that truth, keep it coming. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I want to pray for you. Can we pray? Maybe you're not where you need to be with Jesus. Maybe in your head you believe in Jesus, but you're not in a relationship with him. You haven't trusted him. You haven't really said in your heart, God, I submit to you. I take a knee to you, and I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to give you every talent, every ability. I'm going to give you everything. It all belongs to you. Can I pray for you right now? Father, for that person who's maybe watching online, or they're sitting here in the parking lot, they're in their car right now. Their heart is hungry to know you. Would you just allow that faith to spark and grow? If that's you, would you pray this prayer? Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I surrender to you. I submit my life, my plans, who I am to you. I trust you. I give you my heart. And I follow you. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.